in. So I expect there'll probably be a few people trickling in as we get started, but what I'd like to do first of all is just to have each of you from one end to the other tell the group who you are, what chapter you're with, and a little bit about yourself, but please don't take more than about 30 seconds to a minute, okay? So Faith, why don't we start with you?
My name is Faith Tucker-Stilts. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area where I'm a high school physics and astronomy teacher, and I am starting a Bay Area chapter. We have had like two meetings of the preliminary sort, so I'm here to learn just as much as you are.
And that is the Silicon Valley chapter.
Silicon Valley, yes.
Mike?
I'm Mike Weidner from the Washington, D.C. area. I've been leading a local chapter since 2014, so almost going on 5 years, and currently serving as the Deputy Director for International Affairs for the Department of the Navy.
Sweet. Nice. Thank you. Ben?
I'm Ben Sanders. I'm a campus minister at Arizona State University, and we, over the last couple of years, got a chapter going. I think we're now official.
Yes, you are.
It took a while to get all the faculty on board, but we've been... My wife and I are directors on the campus Christian Center across the street from the university, which is where we call our meetings. We will probably move on campus next year, but and we work with a lot of the different campus ministries, but we see this as sort of a unique ministry that can work with those other campus ministries, but it's not intruding on what they're doing. They're not doing what we're doing.
Ruth?
I'm Ruth Douglas-Miller, and Keith was trying to catch another talk, otherwise we'd probably be next to each other. We, Keith mostly, founded the Kansas State University chapter, which is listed as being the whole state of Kansas, and I don't think we ever envisioned that. We are not there anymore, and so far as I know, there's no activity in the chapter anymore, so we're kind of representing a North Moribund.
Keith, do you want to add anything to that, or...?
Yeah, I presume they'll...
Don't take more than that.
Yeah. I think what our experience provides is some cautions of what kind of needs to be in place before you can have a healthy, sustainable chapter. And we didn't have all the pieces. So...
Daisy.
So I'm Daisy, I teach microbiology for the Grand Canyon University, and there's something very special I want to share about my chapter. We started out with just 4 students, and then within one semester, we swelled to more than 84. And currently, we add all the faculty that have joined ASA, that is the local chapter, we have more than 100. Our Grand Canyon University had 5,000 students, and now there are 20,000 on ground and 70,000 online.
Wow.
So it's incredible growth that went crazy that also has influenced our ASA chapter.
Yeah,
so
fantastic. So Craig?
I'm Craig Story. I live here. This is my home. I teach in biology at Gordon. And I've been involved, by no means leading the Boston chapter, but I'm here to represent the Boston chapter, which... do we need to talk about that?
Not yet.
That's why I'm
remember 30 seconds. Zach.
My name is Zach Mojave. I'm a recent graduate from Grand Canyon University. I was the first president of our student chapter on campus.
Don?
Dominic Halsmer. I'm a professor of engineering at Oral Roberts University, and we have a chapter on campus there.
Okay. Jenny?
I'm here representing the Southern California chapter.
Okay, Billy.
I'm here with Denise.
Also from Southern California.
My name is Lynn Billman, and I'm here for the Rocky Mountain chapter, which is not even a regional. It tends to be Denver to Fort Collins.
And Mark McEwen from Canada, we're asking a lot of him to represent all of Canada. So we'll give you a minute and a half.
I guess I should get 11 times 30 seconds. So I live in the Vancouver area. I grew up in Edmonton, Alberta, and help out with the Vancouver chapter, but my job is to facilitate and start and with a 3-year grant, chapters across Canada. So we have 3 of our local contacts right here. I think, or three people involved with our chapters anyway. I guess Bob, I just named Bob the little contact, so congratulations.
Do you want to introduce the others that are here?
Yeah. So Bob Geddes is involved with the Hamilton chapters in the leadership there. Then we have Chris Baragar, he's local contact for Montreal. And Heather Pryor is local contact in Edmonton, Alberta, which is probably the best chapter, I guess. champions, right? It's great to be involved in lots of challenges and opportunities.
Well, we thank you all for participating. I mean, as you can see, people that are involved in local chapters are also actively involved with the national organization, and there's a great deal of enthusiasm. So, and we're thankful to you that are here as members of the audience as well. So, what I'd like to do is I'm going to put questions on the table for you, and then ask who would like to respond, because we won't get through everything, every question for every person. So, the first question is, what was the motivation for starting or getting involved with your local chapter? So, who would like to respond to that first? Dominic, go ahead.
Well, being in the Bible Belt there in Tulsa, it was, I saw it as a way to bring a more progressive understanding of science and faith, even though ASA is a neutral organization. Yeah, I'd say it's a progressive science and faith organization, and I thought it would be a helpful way to bring some progressive thought to the university.
Okay.
And it's been good, but it's also been a challenge.
Sure. Okay, we'll come back to that. Lynn?
I was going to say friend-to-friend contact. I'm not from a Christian college. I'm from a government laboratory, which is not a Christian place, but a few of us Christians knew each other, and so the guy who was in ASA asked for help at the local ASA conference he was organizing, and that's what got me into ASA and started our local chapter, was friend-to-friend invitations.
In the Bay Area, we very different than Dominic's experience. We're not the Bible Belt, and it's an incredibly secular area, but one that actually has a lot of ASA members there and a lot of scientific work being done in, obviously, the tech sector. So it seemed like a really rich place for an ASA chapter, but one has never really quite found its roots in the area, and so we're really excited to start that. And I think we're particularly interested in connecting with the tech sector. That's something that obviously is unique to the Bay Area and is something that we're really excited about. And when we've talked to the sort of 10 or so people who are starting this chapter with us, the thing that they've talked about, in addition to community first and foremost, and engaging with the tech community, is being a resource to churches. They want to be able to provide resources to local churches to point scientists in their community or people with questions about science have resources to provide them, which really kind of surprised us, as that was a very common theme that a lot of people came up with, and none of us really knew how to do it, but we decided it was valuable. So unfortunately, I won't be able to stay for the whole meeting, but if anybody has great ideas for how to work with local church communities, I'd be all ears.
Anybody else want to take that first one? Ruth?
We, both Keith and I, served on executive council, and I was there with Keith at a time when, and this is still the case, ASA really needed to grow in numbers. So our motivation was, we knew there were plenty of Christian faculty in the sciences. Let's get them connected to ASA and try to grow the number of ASA members. So really our personal goal.
Okay, cool. Daisy, did you want to add something?
Yeah. So, although Grand Canyon University is a Christian university, it was just very recently that they started this new initiative of faith integration. And it was quite a challenge because most of our faculty are not Christians. And so we thought it would be cool if we get connected to ASA. That way we can get all the resources, have speakers come, and that way we can attend our faculty and we'll be able to
integrate it. Thank you.
Okay.
You have a question?
I ran the Eastern PA chapter for a while. It was before we had official chapter. Sarah Miles at Eastern just, I
think, got names of people in ASA and said, this school, on Saturday morning, we'll talk about it. She just said that she had started something and had fallen over the years apart, and she just asked for someone else, you know, other people would be interested in running it, and there was silence in the room, so I raised my hand. But we were very active for about 6 or 7 years.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Maybe you can jump in on some of the other questions as well. Okay, the second question is, how many times per year does your chapter meet? So we could probably run through the room quickly. So can you speak?
I guess our most prolific chapter could have 25 to 30 meetings a year. And, but that's because I live in Vancouver and I full-time work for CSCA, so it's lots of opportunity. And maybe like once or twice a year for our lease for
okay.
the home, something
okay.
like that.
All right.
So it's pretty variable.
Yeah, sounds like it. Okay. Lynn?
We've gone from 3 or 4 meetings a year to 0. We need a injection of spirit.
Okay, all right, sounds good.
We've gone from 3 or 4 meetings a year to 1 all-day conference a year.
Right, okay.
And that's partly just because we're so spread out.
Right, yeah, we'll come back to that too. Don?
Ours has been varying. We started out with monthly meetings, but now we've had some intermittent meetings, so we were
okay. Monthly. All right.
Okay.
Zach?
We do about 1, maybe 2 a month.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Boston right. chapter probably 2 or 3 times a year, and sometimes it meets at MIT, and sometimes also we've had meetings here as well.
Right.
And sometimes we'll actually have a speaker coming to Gordon, and we'll join forces with the ASA to have a combined.
Yeah, great.
It makes it a little easier.
Yeah.
Same Zach.
Okay. Do you guys meet concurrently?
Yes.
Okay, so the campus chapter and the student chapter.
Right.
Meet at
yes.
the same time. Okay. Ruth, when you guys were more active?
Yeah, once or twice a month.
Okay.
Was that because
I
would go. I think that may have been part of the problem. It was basically like a small group discussion,
oh, okay. Okay.
really. And the idea was to meet on a really regular basis.
Right.
And it was a relatively small group, started out maybe 8 people or so,
okay.
8 or 10, and then after a couple years it had shrunk to a smaller group.
Gotcha.
But we were trying to make it a very
frequent.
Regular.
Gotcha. Okay.
We meet about 3 times each semester, plus special events like the Veritas Forum or in Science of Faith.
Mm-hmm. In the DC area, where people's lives actually travel faster than the speed of light, we only do once a quarter.
Okay.
And in the 5 years since I've been part of it for 6 years, we've only missed 2 out of those 5 years,
wow.
Just due to various scheduling issues and whatnot. So it's been pretty successful. But a couple of years ago, we started a tradition of those 4, and meeting at my house for a big potluck. And what that does is that introduces kind of the personal element
yeah.
into
mm-hmm.
the group,
mm-hmm.
where you gather and you get to know each other as people,
yeah.
rather than get to know each other as their professions.
Right.
And so that's added a really good dynamic to it.
Good.
We have yet to actually meet regularly, but we hope to meet every other month for formal meetings and on the alternate months to do sort of social things like casual pub nights.
Cool. Okay, third question. What are some of the challenges you faced in starting or sustaining local chapters? And some of you have already touched on those, but is there anybody that would like to jump in on this?
The bone, since that's our story.
Yeah.
I think there's a number of issues. One is we started with a relatively small core group. These were people that we knew that were very personally engaged in the science faith dialogue, had very personal issues that they were dealing with or interested in. And we had a lot of, as we said, it was not a Christian school, it was a state school, but a very large number of Christian faculty. In the hundreds. But what we found was that those Christian faculty were, their time, their kind of non-academic time, was devoted to their churches. So they were Sunday school teachers, you know, elders, deacons, things like that. And so they saw that as their primary expression of their faith. And to add another event or another group meeting on top of that, they may come once and then, you know, but they weren't sustaining members.
Right.
And so I think the main problem for sustainability was there's only maybe a core of five or six people.
Mm-hmm. If that. There were three or four
at the
ASA
end.
Members.
And also to get them to be ASA members was very, very difficult.
Sure.
And so without that kind of momentum,
yeah, right.
You will have the same problem of burnout as you have with any kind of organization. If the same five people are there, you know, it's just not sustainable, and that's what we're ran into.
Anybody else want to weigh in on that?
We had a similar situation. We had a guy working in the film industry who had nothing going on professionally, and so he started having speakers from Ford over to his house and having potlucks, and he went to ASA, got all of our names, invited all of us,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and for a while he did everything except he called a group of us together to talk and plan and stuff. But then when the film industry took off again, then he left, and fortunately we have three at least faculty people up at West Moderate Cal Baptist, which are pretty far apart, and Azusa Pacific, who are helping us, but none of us have the time he had.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
That's a part.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to have us over to his house.
Yeah.
And we'd have a potluck beforehand and then a talk.
Yeah.
And you can't hang it on one person.
Right, exactly. Or even something.
What I'd like to suggest is that it does take even one person, if not a small group, who are really passionate and really dedicated to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that, you're just going to do a little bit of everything, and then you're going to quit. But you also have to have some younger blood coming along. Okay, our issues, we've had a passionate leader for a long time, but the man is 80, you know, and he can't drive anymore, and it's just not gonna work. So we basically have floundered down, and I'm trying to figure out what I want my role to be on a local basis, and I don't have a big house anymore. So, you know, you gotta solve a lot of, you have to be dedicated and passionate to be willing to tackle all these issues of putting together an active chapter.
Yeah.
Can I just throw in, I think we reached too high. We had semi-annual meetings, a couple local universities, we would have two invited speakers, refreshments, you know, morning session, afternoon session, which went really, really well, but I never really got enlisted help.
Yeah.
And we couldn't kind of sustain that kind of work.
Right, sure.
Had my kids licking stamps and
One other aspect that I think certainly was true at Kent State, those who came were passionately interested in the origins issue.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it
very
tough
narrow
to get new people in.
Yeah, sure.
ASA science interest is very, very broad.
Right.
So if you don't have a lot of people, then you're not going to bring in the broadness, which is really where the blood of ASA needs to be. So that's a thing to think about as you're getting started. If we get enough folks across a broad spectrum of science topics, that this would be interesting and infectious for folks.
Yeah. Mike.
Yeah, we've had successful meetings, and we've been able to attract upwards of 50, 60 people, including students, at any one event. The hardest thing is getting them to become members. And you know, and I keep seeing the repeat offenders coming time and time again. And I'm like, give me your money. How do we draw them in to become members and become dedicated year after year members? That's the real challenge. It's not attracting the people, it's getting them to commit.
Good point.
I've been thinking a lot about that, and I've been thinking about how where I teach,
every faculty and scientist could join because they actually give us money to spend, some discretionary money, which is a real blessing. So they should all be members, and I don't think, and they don't, you know, they don't think about it. And I think a lot of people who even have the discretionary funds to do it and not be a sacrifice don't do it, but they don't think about it. They think about what am I going to get out of it? And if somehow we communicate, you know, you're glad the ASA is around, right? Yeah, I'm really glad it's around. I just don't want to send them $85 a year. And to get them to think that, wow, by supporting the ASA as a member, you are really providing an incredible bunch of resources and opportunities for a lot of people. And I somehow, if we could kind of get that across to folks, they go, okay, yeah, I'm supporting this thing, just like I'd be supporting a missionary organization or some other kind of foundation.
Yeah, so getting them to think beyond just what are the benefits for me,
right.
What are the benefits for
the
church.
Mark?
Could talk a little bit about challenges across Canada. I mean, generally Canada has a huge geography and not very many people to fill it. So we don't have a lot of people in the first place, and then the people who take science seriously and the people who take the Bible seriously, I mean, now we're working in a Venn diagram and a Venn diagram. So it's hard in some places. Some of the more specific challenges might be useful to talk about, in one chapter, we just asked all the people on a sign-up sheet, like, would you be interested in helping? And in that chapter, they just invited everyone who said yes to a meeting. And at that meeting, you had people who might not have any affinity to the ASA or CSCA and agree with the ethos at all. And what ended up happening there is somebody got in a fight about how old the Earth was. And it really derailed that chapter to the point where even though that's like 4,000 kilometers away from me, I'm the local contact if you go to the website, because no one wants to fill that role. No. And so that chapter's been holding events for a couple of years, and I just run it from Vancouver, and there's people who want to help, but no one wants to take that central spot.
Wow.
And so when my job is done, I wonder who will fill that. And that's another thing, is that I've had chapters where there's all the hands are available on deck to help, but you know, there's hesitation about who wants to be the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even though that doesn't necessarily mean any difference in the work being done,
yeah,
it's just someone has to be the chair,
right,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it paints a target or
responsible party or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Lynn, did you have something else?
No, I have a simple question. Is ASA staff available to help to put up, not help, to put up information on a chapter website? The reason I say that is I am not tech savvy, and yet the website could be an easy way to refer people to it,
right,
to find the location, the time, the topic, and so on and so forth. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah,
I hate websites and
programming
and everything else.
That's
terrible for me.
That's something that can be accomplished here in the academy.
Well, maybe that's where we can encourage students to fill some of these leadership roles, because it's good training for them, good experience for them to get this leadership experience. And it's really not that difficult of jobs. They can handle it.
Yeah.
We've seen that in the student chapter.
Per the Constitution, at this point, the chapter has to have full members, but that doesn't mean a full member
can't delegate,
work with,
right.
Delegate some of the work to a student member, so that's a good idea. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one. Question four, what has been the most rewarding part of being involved with your local chapters? Mike?
I've attended a number of churches in the D.C. area, my family and I, and the interactions that I've had with youth pastors and general teaching pastors and other influential lay people with the ASA, it's been phenomenal, because they come away from some of our meetings with tools that they can take back to their local congregations and help their children deal with the crises of faith that so many parents are having to wade through at this level. And it's been great to see them. They may mention it to me like once or twice, but I know they're on various websites, ASA websites, getting
copies of old, journals and utilizing those resources to the best of their ability.
Awesome, thanks.
For us, it's been invaluable because 2 years ago was my first ASA conference and Bill Newsom was one of the keynote speakers. So had a great visit with him and connected him up with some bioengineering professors at ASU who, were just thrilled to make connection with him. And so we had him speak at a Veritas Forum just this past February. But again, it goes back to that first connection at ASA. And then not only did he give a Veritas Forum, but then the next day he spent the entire day at the ASU Biodesign Institute talking to faculty and students around neuroscience. So that's kind of the approach that we're going to be taking going forward is we want to do the Christian events, Veritas Forum specifically, but we also want to make sure that we're bringing value to the university by bringing in people like Doug
Loffenberger,
who I was on mission to get to come to ASU next year because, my bioengineering professor is saying, you've got to get him, get him rolling. So that's bringing value to our university, but ASA is sort of the vetting agency for us. And when we can see how people do in that kind of a setting, then it makes it easy to say, gosh, we need to bring them to our place. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Oh. Just seeing undergraduate students reconcile science and faith in a way which excites them so much. That's the most rewarding thing.
Awesome. Anyone else? Most rewarding experiences. Yeah, Patrick.
I can say I lead a local chapter in Winnipeg. Not anymore, I've moved, but I started one there. I come at things from a bit of a different angle. I'm primarily a theologian and an ethicist. So often I find myself in the position of being a listener at a lot of these events, and something that I've really valued is just all the stories I gather and the types of people I get to interact with, and then I get to tell others about those people. And because I was a pastor, I just got that sort of pastoral thing. So I think one thing that I try to do is try to get more and more pastors involved at attending events and just forming relationships with them, because once they see what's going on and they get a sense of how many Christians there actually are in the sciences out there, they just become a little bit more open to listening. And then even if they're not all the way there on whatever it is the topic you're addressing, they can become aware of a spectrum, and then they can help with the younger kids to say, who have questions, well, there's a spectrum on this, and then they might be open to go to a CSC or ASA event or something. So I think it goes beyond just the universities, because the kids are already getting formed before they get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I try to focus on a lot of networking and just putting people together. And I drive a lot of satisfaction out of that. So.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
I know I've appreciated the people we've got to come and speak. We had Dr. Lou Bird, who was the president of the Christian Medical and Dental Society, speak. We had a meeting on stem cell research, and then he was kind of free to pick. And he presented a long talk on the various views toward abortion and conception, and within the Jewish community, within his Christian community, with others, that was really challenging. That was really interesting. I think it was the same with a lot of people who came.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Okay, moving on to the next question. What would you say makes your chapter unique? I'd like to lead out on this one. Ginny?
Just how spread out we are.
Okay.
Sometimes I really envy a campus one where you just have people that could meet very regularly to talk about an article in the journal or anything. It would be easy compared to what we have.
Yeah. But I think that if I can kind of jump on that, since I've been a part of the Southern California chapter for many years, I think that is why we've kind of gravitated to this winter day conference that we do. And we basically take Saturday in typically January, and it's kind of a miniature version of this conference. Mm-hmm. We'll submit abstracts, we bring in a couple of keynote speakers, and we typically, I think the low end of the attendance has been 50-ish to 70 maybe, and the high end has been around 150. So it's a neat time to connect in kind of a significant way for a day, and it is largely because of the fact we're so spread out that people will take time on a Saturday to make the drive to kind of a central location. Thanks for that. Who else would like to share? Mike.
What's unique about our chapter?
Yeah.
Francis Collins is a member. But Washington, D.C. Is just an amazing place, as you know. We just have such a variety of various members who are, you know, professionals in what they do. Jennifer Wiseman is a part of our chapter. We've got, you know, retired folks from, it was a physics laboratory in the area. I can't remember the name.
NRL.
What's that?
NRL.
Applied Physics Lab?
Johns Hopkins.
No. I'll remember it.
Okay.
Thank you, NIST. He's a retired physicist.
Who is that?
From NIST. Paul Julien.
Okay.
We've got, you know, universities, a lot of universities in the local area, some of whose professors are dedicated, devout followers of Jesus Christ. I've been able to pull them in and become paid members. So we just have a lot of various folks that we can tap.
Right.
And that allows our agendas to be very diverse.
Yeah.
You know, bringing in, you know, one of the papal priests who is an expert in creation care. When the papal encyclical came out, I was able to pull him in and
awesome.
And give that out as pre-meeting reading and awesome. And discuss that encyclical. It's just, there's a lot to tap into.
Yeah,
so right. It makes it kind of easy.
Okay.
Getting
but what
scheduled.
You're doing with the potlucks is also kind of unique, too. That's a neat approach, I think.
It is hard, though, because our area is fairly large. I mean, so everything's a suburb of D.C. within about a 100-mile radius. So we have to bounce back and forth between Maryland and Virginia for our meetings just to be able to reach those folks.
Sure. We also would like to talk about the unique feature of the chapter. I know you all have them, so if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to call on you.
I think it's cool that we get to meet at MIT, which is
Sort
of science mecca.
In a pub, no less.
In a pub, they have a beer served. So we had a little issue because we were inviting Gordon students, and some of them were not of drinking age. So it caused a little problem one time, but they were able to stand in the side.
Look in the window.
But since then, we've worked it out. We sometimes have meetings in different spots. So that's a favorite spot. And we do get luminaries in there, like Loffenberg has spoken
sure.
a couple times, and Randy Isaac has spoken a few times there.
Ian Hutchinson, right?
Yeah, Ian. I did quite a luminary, but I mean, it's usually a pretty small group, about 20 that come, and some of the sort of old-timer ASAers that are in the area will come, engineers, and then a mixture of like MIT people and students and things,
yeah.
It's a good mix.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just don't implicate the ASA with a fake ID scan.
No, none of that.
Ben, if we're going to jump back to you, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, being a secular university like Arizona State makes us different than, say, a Christian college, where you can work within the institution differently. So mm-hmm. we have to sort of work around things, but nonetheless, it's been great to see faculty step up in really major ways and actually sort of out themselves in a public way. And some of it, you know, Lawrence Krauss has been one of our professors for 10 years, so that just tells you a little bit about some of the tensions on our campus. And so for them to publicly declare themselves, and they're our featured speakers typically at our gathering. So each time I do it advisedly. First of all, they need to have tenure. but nonetheless, I think we've actually seen some really positive things happen in terms of our engagement with the university. Because again, if you bring a Bill Newsom, you've won. You brought value to the university, and people appreciate that. So that's how is kind of the process we're using to show legitimacy that we're not going to embarrass you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Anybody else? Unique feature in the chapter.
Can I just ask, I guess, a prayer for our group, because Proclamation Presbyterian Church, which is Peter DeWilbach, you might know, has been really hot on science issues. They've been having a small conference every year, very connected to the Discovery Institute. I think Ted sent me something about a speaker in Westchester. There's a church in Westchester that has become very interested in science and faith issues. I think referral, if I could, you know, find the time to contact these people to organize. We don't always agree with the Discovery Institute, everything, but we're on the same side, and it's just an opportunity.
Okay, that sounds good. Bob, did you have your
turn? Yeah, I was listening to all of this, and I think that the key thing here is prayer for people who are interested in forming something, because the thing is, if you look at them, the greater Princeton area, there's a lot going on. There are ASI members, including myself, who are already speaking at Sunday school classes and with quite good attendance because of the large number of people who are willing to go ahead and listen, and our pastors really like it, on issues of science and faith that we do on a regular basis. We do have Veritas forums. We do have Christian organizations on campus, both here and also at Rutgers, which is a major school at the end of the road, where then you do have speakers, in fact, that then deal with these issues. Mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, faculty Bible studies. So we have all of the elements, mm-hmm. if you will, but then it goes back to this issue, and this is what I'm not entirely sure about, so I'm here to listen. What then, to phrase it in a particular way, that we bring to the table, mm-hmm. that is not already covered, and is not already involving ASA members within this rather what I call pretty vibrant community, mm-hmm. where we have good relationships with churches, and that we already have people in their own spheres involved in issues of faith and science. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that I'm just trying to control.
Yeah, the thing that I hear over and over again from people, especially after their first time visit to an ASA meeting, is the fellowship that they don't find anywhere else, of being able to talk to like-minded people who are also interested in talking about science and faith. Because oftentimes it doesn't happen in the church, it doesn't necessarily happen in the workplace, but this is a place, a safe place, to have that fellowship and those conversations. And a lot of times people go away from this meeting. I know it's part of why I was part of the founding group of the Southern California chapter was, after kind of coming down from a mountaintop experience of being at an ASA summer meeting, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to wait 12 more months before I have this again. And so that was part of the impetus for starting a local chapter. And so I think if we can bring that same experience to the local communities, then there's a lot of stickiness to it. I'm watching the clock here. We need to transition to the next segment. I know some of you probably need to leave and go to a different session, but the next segment of this is going to be a working session on filling out paperwork if you want to try to start a new chapter, sharing ideas, brainstorming on the blackboard with different ideas about what chapters could look like, and that sort of thing. So, but I want to honor anyone that needs to leave to go to another session right now. And thanks so much for being here. Please feel free to stay if you're interested in the working group.
Can I ask a question to them real quick?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'll be super quick, I promise. Have any of you guys done anything where you've done, like, chapters across country and kind of had, like, a conference, like a webinar or something where you, like, Skyped or something with another chapter across country and cross that way? Does that make sense, like D.C. and this, you know, Southern California, do a webinar with a big screen, you guys are communicating, and then,
That'd be an interesting experiment. I'd like to try that out. Yeah.
Okay.
So, like I say, we're segueing to the working group. Did you want to make a comment to that?
I was just in the area of Christian women. I tried to do a webinar on a subject, and I set it up at two different times to capture two different kinds of people. And eagerly was online and ready with my discussion, my questions, and absolutely no one came on for either time. So I was quite discouraged at the whole idea of the webinar concept. I mean, in my professional life, we did it all the time.
Yeah.
But outside of my professional life, I couldn't get it to work with ASA people. I don't know why not.
I have application forms for both the student chapters and the regular local chapters. If you want one of these, please raise your hand and I'll come over and give you one.
and then we can, like I say, do a more informal kind of, what do you need, have you started, what are some ideas?
I may have to interrupt.